With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're back just like we said we would be after breaking down the offense in the spring yesterday. We're back today on Wednesday afternoon. Andy Backstrom on the other side of that screen to break down the Ohio State defense. The biggest remaining questions, the biggest surprises, concerns. Andy, are you happy to be back 24 hours later, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am happy to talk about the defense just because I feel like a lot of this offseason we talked about the offense because the defense we're just assuming is going to take that next step. But there's so many exciting pieces to kind of break down. Before we were doing this, I was looking through the roster and I was just checking down names we got to mention. And my list was getting longer and longer and longer. And that's just kind of the way it is. It's like a CVS receipt of all the guys that could, you know, play a role this season. So I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, we will get into all of it. If you haven't already seen the spring superlatives from last week, go to lettermanrow.com, use the promo code OSU1, get your first 2 months for $1. But you also get the full story from me, from yours truly, about the spring superlatives. We're going to jump right in, Andy. Tim May will be joining us at some point. Mello, number 7, thank you for being here, as always. It is a great pleasure to be in the presence of Mello, as always. The biggest surprise, Andy, on the website from last week, I said the biggest surprise was that the Buckeyes' defensive tackle depth expanded. I thought that this was a unit that we will definitely talk about throughout this show. You know, Tywan Malone, still in the mix. You've got Caden McDonald starting to come on. You've got Jason Moore, who's been praised. You know, if they've been effusive in their praise of Jason Moore here in spring number 2. We saw Will Smith early in spring start with a bang, but then kind of not fizzle out, but kind of revert back to the mean, I guess. What was your take on the defensive tackles? And then we'll get your take on the biggest surprise.
Yeah, there's so many defensive tackles you can kind of play with. You mentioned a bunch of them there. And I think that it's going to be up to Larry Johnson to figure out who is that third defensive tackle. Because last year it was Ty Hamilton who came in and rounded out that group with Tylik Williams, as well as Mike Hall Jr., who's off to the NFL draft. Well, now the question is, who's going to be the new Ty Hamilton? And you mentioned a ton of guys that could be in that conversation, but I'm really keying in on that because, yes, they're going to play a deep rotation of defensive tackles, and they'll need that for all the reasons we talked about yesterday with the expanded season and the potential of the 12-team college football playoff fleshing out like a 16-17 game slate. But most importantly, through that 12-game regular season, you're going to need a third defensive tackle to step up. And I'm wondering if that's going to be Jason Moore, who's had a great offseason. I'm wondering if that's going to be someone like, you know, a Tywan Malone that we haven't talked a lot about, but maybe he has a great camp. Or if it's going to be someone, you know, that we talked about this spring, like a Will Smith Jr. Or, you know, really there's this whole crop that you can kind of play with and see who's going to rise among this group. Hero Canoe is probably the guy going into spring. I would have said he's going to be the guy, but there's been other names that have been surfacing, I feel like, ahead of his in our time talking throughout the spring. So that's where I stand on defensive tackles. As for biggest surprise, you know, it's not a big surprise, but it happened with Sonny Styles moving to linebacker. I think it was what everyone was hoping for. So I wouldn't call it a surprise, but maybe something that certainly looks different than this time last year. And I was thinking today, you know, going back to the defense, I wonder how much this would have played a role, like if Caleb Downs didn't come to Ohio State. Like if Caleb Downs wasn't landed in the portal, would Sonny Styles still move down to linebacker? I believe yes, just because I think he fits better there. But it was made easy for Ohio State because you bring in Caleb Downs to play safety. Now he's alongside Lathan Ransom. And it's just like, okay, of course you're going to move Sonny Styles. And that probably fits better anyway. But I was just thinking for a second, like, yeah, would they have done that had they not landed Caleb Downs in the portal?
Yeah, I think they would have still done that. And I also think they would have been ultra aggressive at bringing in a safety from the transfer portal if that were the case. But it's not, because Caleb Downs ends up at Ohio State. He was he was the most impressive. It's kind of no questions asked there. I think even in the story, I said, who else would it be to start that little section of that story? Kind of, you know, tongue in cheek a little bit, but really, who else would it be as the most impressive? He comes in. Matt Guerrieri said he had to even work harder to get on Caleb Downs' level and make sure he was as prepared as Caleb, so he didn't feel unprepared as his position coach. Obviously, a little bit of a joke there, but also just tells you what these coaches really think of Caleb Downs. And then Sonny Styles in that same story is the biggest mover, just because he legitimately moved. So we had some moving pieces there. I think Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles and that. I called it a couple weeks ago on the Andy Staples show, the Andy Staples on 3 show on YouTube. I called it one of the biggest chain reactions that you can have here, just because of the way that it changes everything. You know, with Sonny Styles being a linebacker now, CJ Hicks has a little bit more freedom to do what he needs to do, you know, whether that's coming off the edge or being a guy who can make an impact in pass rush and in blitzing. And then, you know, that kind of frees some space up for the safeties to do a little bit more in the back end with Caleb Downs and Latham Ransom. So like the Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles aspect of all of this, the way that they already showed us what they could do this spring, I think you could lump that into spring MVP. You could lump it into most impressive. You can lump it into biggest movers, biggest surprise, however you want to take that. Those two have to be a part of a big, big part of that conversation.
Yeah, so, absolutely. You can play a lot around with those defensive backs and the linebackers, and formationally, like, I don't think we're going to see as much of the 4-2-5. It's going to be the base, and that's what Jim for really a couple of decades now, but I think he's going to get a lot more creative with what they do formationally, and not just with the defensive backs and what he's done with that nickel spot, with having Jordan Hancock as a corner and basically making that into a third corner spot there in the slot. But even up front, I think, you know, he's talked about playing around with the idea of double eagle. You know, you bring back JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer, you're trying them out as like an outside linebacker and having a third defensive tackle. That's where that third D tackle also comes into play, right? With a five defensive lineman front, essentially. Like, I think he's going to get really creative with all those things. And yes, the 4-2-5 will be the base, but I think we'll see different kind of combinations because it factors in with that linebacker group as well. You want TJ Hicks to be on the field. You want Sonny Styles to be on the field. Oh, by the way, you still have Cody Simon, who's always going to be on the field. So there's just like players that are demanding formationally that you do different things because you're trying to maximize the guys that you have, and you have so many of them.
We said that we would bring him in. The 41-year vet Tim May is ready to give his biggest surprise from the defensive side of the ball in spring ball. Tim May, the 41-year vet, he's alive, he's well, he's right here in the flesh on LettermanRow.com. Tim, biggest surprise from the defense in spring ball?
I didn't know we were doing this nude. Biggest surprise, defensive side of the ball, spring ball. You guys kind of hit on some things. Obviously, Sonny Styles is not a surprise that he's stellar where they moved him. Caleb Downs is not a surprise considering I think he's the best maybe safety in the country coming back. Biggest surprise, I don't know. It might be the rise. I didn't really have a surprise in the spring.
That's okay.
Everybody came back. Yeah, there was one surprise for me, and I wrote about it in the middle of the spring. You remember I was talking about all these things you guys were talking about in the middle of the spring of where Jim Knowles could go with this personnel. Remember, I even asked him in a press conference, are you guys still a 4-2-5? You know, and he said, basically base. Yeah. But dude, I'm going to see them with three linebackers. I got my air quotes floating around there around linebackers more as much as anything else this year because of the flexibility of Sonny Styles, but also of CJ Hicks. But my biggest surprise was just the way Mitchell Melton stepped back into the frame of view and got after it. And, you know, there's a lot of guys who got after it in the spring, but, you know, you could see what Jim Knowles saw in him 2 years ago when he was really just watching him on video, you know, about what he could bring to that Leo position. Hey, are we going to see the return of the Leo position? Maybe. I mean, you know, apples, oranges, peaches, whatever you want to call some of these pieces. Jim knows can mix and match. But you know what? This is almost a year where you kind of get into a couple of little base sets and just let really good football players play. I'm not sure you got how much you're going to have to fool people, with the exception maybe of a couple of games.
It was interesting, Tim, because when we talked to Josh Simmons, the starting left tackle, and somebody that I think could be a big-time NFL prospect after another good year at Ohio State, yeah. He said the hardest guy to block on this entire defense, that which includes Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau and Edrick Houston and Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry. No, he just went ahead and said it. He said the hardest guy to block to defend is Mitchell Melton. And so
no, but you know why? But because what is he? You know, he's 260 pounds now, 261 pounds. And that's what you're leading up to. But really, what is he? Is he rushing around the edge? Is he gonna kind of like power up inside, kind of like shoot a gap? Is he gonna drop off into coverage? You know, they've kind of got a Leo now without calling him a Leo. Don't you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And he's almost like that wily old veteran who he's not going to completely speed around you. He's not going to completely overpower you, but he's seen things, Tim. He's a grizzled old veteran. He's been around the block. He knows, you know, if a left tackle does this move to him, he's got a counter to it because he's been around not only, you know, a guy like Zach Harrison, but now been around he was around Tyreek Smith a little bit. He was around JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer for 3 years. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's learned it mentally from that year off in the ACL. He's learned it physically from multiple years with Mick Marotti and with Larry Johnson. Andy, it's interesting. He's almost the guy that you almost need in this defense for a change of pace, but you also don't want to call him a change of pace because he does a little bit of everything and he might surprise some people.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Tim.
And what gets me is he, Sonny Styles, and C.J. Hicks, I think they move really quickly over a five-yard little box, whatever you want to put. I mean, that's so valuable or invaluable, whatever the proper term, the proper adjective there is, to have that kind of player you can put on the field just when you've gotten used to going against JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, maybe Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson. It's just, man, the – Like Andy was talking about, while I was waiting way back in the wings there, they're so, and you were too, the mix and match you can do just with personnel, put the same sort of like lineup out there numbers wise, but just change everything from one play to the next. It's crazy what the possibilities could be.
Andy?
Well, that's the interesting thing because, you know, Larry Johnson is known for this deep rotation, but last year, it wasn't as deep, and there were times where he really just rode with the two defensive ends, what everyone kind of wanted, everyone was shouting for, which was Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau playing almost the full game. And at one point, you know, against Notre Dame, they did play the full game. And obviously, good thing JT Tuimoloau was out there for that final, most pivotal series that helped get the ball back for Ohio State. And he almost had a pick six on one of those plays. So, basically trusting these guys to play as long as they did, the endurance they built from being there, how do you balance that while utilizing all these other guys and the talk about the long season and trying to maintain the freshness of their legs? And I think that's going to be really interesting of how they navigate that rotation. It's a never-ending conversation. We talk about it every season. But how is Larry Johnson going to navigate that? Because, yes, along with Mitchell Melton, you guys touched on it. You have Kenyatta Jackson. You have Caden Curry. You have Josh Mickens. You know, you got an Edrick Houston, who, by the way, was pretty special to watch this spring and in the spring game. He could probably contribute right away. So, like, you have to find a way to balance this all because, yes, guys came back for the depth of it all, but they also came back to contribute. And so you probably do need a little bit more of a rotation, as much as people love to just say, hey, put JT and Jack out there and let them work.
This is what I like about Andy is he gives me praise without even calling attention to it. I appreciate that. Edrick Houston, I mean, anybody watched a spring game could see why that guy was a five-star, why it was down between Alabama and Ohio State down to the nitty-gritty, right? And Ohio State won. What a battle that was to win. Boy, if they go on and win a national championship this year, a lot – there should be at least a thank-you card to, Bryant-Denny Stadium – Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, maybe they'll have to do that. As we move along here for the defensive spring recap, Andy, Tim, just nod if you agree, because I don't think we'll have any disagreement here. The top position group from the defensive side of the ball this spring is the cornerbacks, yes?
Well, we just talked about defensive ends, man. It's pretty good, but I'm going to still nod because I wrote about that after the spring game, and I might as well agree with what I wrote. But, excuse me, I was supposed to nod.
That's what you're here for, Tim. We always
like guys with chips on their shoulder, man, and talented enough to back it up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We love the color commentary, Tim. So you've got Denzel Burke. You've got Davison Igbinosin. You've got Jordan Hancock. All three starting corners back in the fold for this year. I'm not breaking any new ground there. You've got Jermaine Matthews back, who I think Pro Football Focus at the end of December decided they were just going to be a Jermaine Matthews love page. Yeah. Because I think every day they tweet that he's the highest rated corner returning in college football, even though he didn't play a ton of snaps. He played enough to impress a lot of people, including the number crunchers. And he impressed Ohio State enough where he started against Penn State in a massive game. He played a lot, you know, even against Michigan late in the season. He played a lot, you know, down the stretch of the year, and he played really well. You've got all those guys returning. Oh, by the way, Aaron Scott Jr. had 5 pass deflections in the spring game because he was out there so much, and he had a really, really strong day, showed what maybe Jermaine Matthews showed last spring. Oh, by the way, Calvin Simpson-Hunt from Waxahachie, Texas, Tim,
there you go.
Has a breakout spring and really starts to push for a role. Bryce West hasn't even played a down yet because he was hurt during the spring, but he's another highly rated guy that Ohio State fell in love with in the recruiting process. And Miles Lockhart looks like a young guy on the rise who, you know, could play in that slot. Jermaine Matthews was in the slot a little bit. Then you've got Lorenzo Styles, who, you know, was in a sling at the end of spring, but was good before that, before he got injured.
He was getting some pretty good reviews from folks. You're right. I mean, I was hoping we weren't going to forget him. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I just named every corner on the roster, Andy.
Yeah.
But the bottom line here, and I'm going to kick it to Andy first, is this cornerback room is just so loaded. And as much as we said that in January and February when those guys decided to return who could have went to the NFL, it looks like it's even deeper now that we've seen Aaron Scott in Scarlet and Gray, now that we've seen Jermaine Matthews in year two. We've seen that progression from Calvin Simpson-Hunt. Like, is there anything else to say about this corner room, Andy, or is it just it is what it is and it's the best unit they could have?
Well, what I'll say is the corner room deeper than the wide receiver room?
Yes.
when's the last time you could say that at Ohio State? And that's nothing against the wide receiver room. I mean, it's still plenty deep, still plenty talented. You're going to have a couple future first-round receivers in there, more than a couple, actually. But still, this cornerback room, I mean, Denzel Burke came back to be a top 15 pick. You know, it's going to take a lot to do that, but he's capable of doing it. You got Davison Igbinosin that people don't talk about nearly enough. He's probably one of the better run-defending corners in the Big Ten, if not nationally. And then you have Jordan Hancock, who's seemingly always around the ball. I think that trio together is, you know, has the makings of being a really special unit. I think the interesting thing, similar to the defensive ends and the defensive linemen, and really all these positions defensively, because there's so much depth, is how do they manage this rotation? Are they rotating Jermaine Matthews into the slot with Jordan Hancock? What does that look like? I don't know exactly, you know, what you need to do per se. Like, you want to win ball games, you put the best out there to do so. I'm just curious to see what that looks like. But I think this paradigm shift of, like, you know, even a couple of years ago during the 2022 season, cornerbacks were just riddled by injuries. There was not nearly enough depth there. It's just been 2 years and already you have arguably the deepest unit on this team. And I think that's a lot of credit that needs to be given to Tim Walton and the way he's recruited and also recruited from the transfer portal and found ways to just bolster this unit into the point where we actually have a conversation of this zone 6 versus BIA.
Yeah, and it always, like I mentioned a while ago, it always helps when guys, for whatever reason, have a chip on their shoulder. And as we talked about after the spring game, you know, the cornerbacks got tired of hearing about, you know, all this great weaponry on the offensive side of the ball. You could see them playing with an edge. That's a big deal. Denzel Burke didn't play a whole lot in the spring game. Davison Igbinosin didn't either. But when they were in there, yeah, you're going to give up some pass completions. I mean, that's just the way it is from Pee Wee all the way up to the NFL. But they were just playing on an edge, man. And that's what I like about them. Denzel Burke, man, he just – I don't know – and I mean this euphemistically, he hits me the right way, you know. Now I hope he never hits me in for real, but he hits me the right way, just with his attitude, his self-awareness, his self-confidence. But you know, Denzel Burke Jr., Jermaine Matthews is the same guy. I mean, I like the way he goes about his business. I like the way he talks to us. I think it's a big, most of the great cornerbacks I've ever been around, ever covered, you know, over the last 50 years of covering football, they had that about them. And I think all these guys do. Probably the most humble may not be the correct term. The more quiet of all of them may be Jordan Hancock, you know, but he just goes about doing his business. But that's what I like. You know, you like guys who do it on the field, and let's be selfish here. We also like guys we can talk to and get a good quote from.
Yeah, I asked.
This may be the quote position of the team. Go ahead now.
For sure. I actually asked, it's funny you say that, Tim. I asked Denzel Burke during the spring. I said, do you see a little bit of yourself in Jermaine Matthews? And he said, no, nobody's Denzel Burke. And I said, oh, well, that's a perfect response from Denzel Burke. But he did say he's Jermaine Matthews. And as long as he's Jermaine Matthews, he's going to be special. It's like these guys all complement each other really well. And they also complement each other because they know how talented they all are. I think we can just be in agreement then moving forward here that the corners were the best unit from the spring, just because not only did they enter the spring with such a high bar to clear, then they cleared it and continued to grow and get better. I will say we're going to move on now to a little bit, not bleak, because again, Andy, we're not going to say like, hey, what sucked about spring football? But, you know, we're going to go into the biggest concern here now. And again, I'll start with you, Andy. Your biggest concern, Andy, heading into the summer on this defensive side of the ball, if there is any, because you know there's so much talent returning.
Yeah, I think for me, it goes back to last season, not as much of what we saw in the spring or didn't see, because they did have three interceptions in the spring game, but there just needs to be more takeaways. And I've talked about this ad nauseum. You're probably tired of hearing about it, but like they had only 11 takeaways last season, which was their fewest this entire century. In 2005, they had 12, so that was close. Wow. But you can't win championships that way. You can win 11 games. You can be pretty darn good defensively. But to get the next step, to be elite, you need to create more havoc than that. And that's where I do think they need to be more creative. That's where the flexibility of moving someone like Caleb Downs all around the field, having a Sonny Styles at linebacker, you know, doing creative things, blitzing with both those players, CJ Hicks as well, creating pressure to force errant throws, to pick off passes. That's all part of the equation. Last year, they took away the explosives, the downfield passing. Well, this year, they need to continue to do that while also taking some risks and benefiting from those risks and helping the offense. As good as the offense, I think, could be this year, it still helps to have a defense that can generate more takeaways.
Yeah, mine would be, did you guys already discuss the safeties before I got here?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, there's Caleb Downs, maybe the best safety in the country. I think we've already spoken about that many times. But what a little just not troubling, but a little bit of a, you know, wait and see kind of situation was Lathan Ransom and Malik Hartford, you know, not being able to really take part in spring, the real football part of spring, if in fact you call it that. I'm not sure how much they even had of that. But that would be a little bit of a concern on are they going to be back in August really ready to go full bore? They're expected to be, but we know how things can linger, right, with players. So that would be my concern, was seeing the two starting safeties out there at the same time in real football. I didn't get to see that. With that said, Jaden Bonsu, who I think maybe I'm wrong. I think he got Spencer Holbrook's Malik Hartford, keep your eye on this guy award for this spring, didn't he? I think.
He was
what you call it, the Malik Hartford, keep your eye on this guy award. I think Jaden Bonsu came on him. He took the opportunity and grew with it. I think you agree with that, right? And but yeah, that would be because if Lathan Ransom and Caleb Downs are out there, you know, we keep talking about the running back room maybe being the best in the country, the top two. We talk about the cornerbacks. Could be argued the best two. You could say the three starting wide receivers, or those three are, could be, I think, the two starting safeties. If it's Lathan Ransom and Caleb Downs, could be the top two safeties in the country. That's just my feeling.
Yeah, I Tim, I think that you're right, but he didn't win my award. Jalen McClain did. The funny thing is Jaden Bonsu, who's also from New Jersey, Jalen McClain's from New Jersey. Jaden Bonsu would have probably got the runner up because I was being told some good things about Jaden Bonsu as well. Here's the thing about the safety room. I think it's the, and I put this on LettermanRow.com last week. I ranked the position groups at Ohio State on offense by depth, and then I ranked them on defense by depth. Yeah. Safety, last year exiting spring, I went back and looked, was the number one position. I thought they had the most depth of any position on the defense at safety. This year, they were dead last because after you get past, like you just said, once you get past Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom, there's just not much in the way of experience there. There's a lot of talent with Jalen McClain and Jaden Bonsu and Malik Hartford and you know, potentially Jahad Carter. We don't know what his situation is.
Yeah.
But there's just not much in the way of experience at Ohio State. And so Jaden Bonsu, though, with that being said, got a tremendous opportunity this spring with all of those guys being out to be with the first team. He played alongside Caleb freaking Downs and was able to.
I wonder what his nickname was. You know, I think it's Caleb Freak Downs, though, right?
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, he was able to play with him and sponge off of him and learn from him. And I think that will do nothing but help this Ohio State unit moving forward because we know that Malik Hartford's talented enough to play. He played as a true freshman. Yep. We know that Downs and Ransom are good enough because it's obvious. They needed to see something from Bonsu this spring, and those guys being out afforded them the chance for Bonsu to be in there with Downs, to play with him and show that he can play at a high level. That would be my biggest concern as well, Tim, is just that safety depth. If I can add one other thing, it's just, you know, are they going to finally get those sack numbers in bunches that we saw in the Cotton Bowl and that we saw for so many years from this Ohio State unit? It's not their jobs are not to create sacks because that's not what Jim Knowles asks of his defensive ends. And, I have to say that so often because fans want to see sacks because they get the horseshoe rocking. But the reality is, like, the way that this defense is constructed, the defensive end's main job isn't to rack up 13 and a half sacks. That's just not what it is. And that's okay. It's just a different philosophy on defense. But I'd like to see a little bit more pressure on quarterbacks. And I think they did a better job of that last year. But with all the returning talent on the defensive line, you could get it there even more. And that's not really a concern. But
I'm trying to remember. Who mentioned the lack of interceptions? And the reason I smirk because you said this century, and that just shows you how old I'm getting. We're 24 years into this next century, crazy. But you know, one hand washes the other, and you're right. That's what you're talking about, Spence. Is pressure on the quarterback often leads to interceptions. Consistent pressure does, et cetera, and that definitely is what they. You know, it's kind of like you want sacks, but if you sack a guy, maybe if you'd pressured him, you'd gotten the interception. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of trade-offs when you play defense. You know, it's a crazy game. But, what you're saying is you want more. I thought they got decent production last year for the most part from their front four, but you want more, right? If you're a big-time defense, which this unit has a chance to be the best defense we've covered at Ohio State since at least 2019, previous decade. How's that staying in your genre there, Anders? Maybe even before that, then it's got to be all things to all people. Don't you agree? And I think this defense has that shot to be there. But I did want to interject one other thing, though. Leaving spring, I still have a little bit of a question mark on after your top three linebackers we talked about. You know, who are those next guys? You know what I mean? I mean, is
Gabe Powers? You're jumping the gun here because we're going to get out of here on this, and I'm going to start with Andy, and then I'm going to throw it to you. But I'm sure Andy will.
Tim might as well start.
Oh no! I mean, go ahead, Anders.
Tim,
I'll hit it out of the park.
I'll let you start, then Andy. So Andy doesn't steal yours. Tim, what is your biggest question leaving spring football on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, the previous one was what? What's the biggest worry or concern?
Yeah.
So now this question is like, who are those next three linebackers? Or two? Are they a 4-3-4 or 4-2-5? Maybe they got plenty of linebackers if they stick with that 4-2-5 explanation. But I like Gabe Powers. I didn't see a whole lot of him, you know, that just jumped out in the spring game. I mean, right on down the line, there are guys there, but you know. I didn't see anybody just jump out and just really run with the opportunity there. Maybe I missed something because I was watching too much of the offensive side of the ball, especially right guard.
Andy?
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of touched on some of my questions. Like one is who's the third defensive tackle? Another one I think I'll expand upon this time is just like the aggressiveness of Jim Knowles. You know, we talked a lot about this, you know, yesterday throughout the spring. Ryan Day, Chip Kelly, are they going to be aggressive and coach? They need to be. We all felt like in the Michigan game, maybe Ohio State wasn't as aggressive as it needed to be. How will Jim Knowles be? You know, they played great defensively for much of that game against Michigan, but their stop came too late against Michigan. And they need to have, I guess, just more havoc created. They need more aggression. They need this ability to kind of pin their ears back and just let loose. I think last year in some ways was overcompensating for the year before. And I think in many ways that was necessary because the year before was this tolerance of explosives being allowed and, you know, playing a little bit risk averse and just, you know, just going for it all. And I get that, but the feast or famine strategy can be abandoned without not being aggressive at all. And I think that that is the balance that's going to have to be struck. My question is, can Jim Knowles strike that balance? Because his defenses at Oklahoma State and Duke were successful because he kind of just threw everything in the kitchen sink and just went at it. Well, now he's got to find the balance. And that's my question. Can he find that balance? I do believe he can. It's just, that's a hard thing to do. So we'll see if he can do it.
My biggest question leaving spring and going into summer kind of goes back to the top position group on the defense. And Tim, I think you remember a time when Kerry Combs decided that he had too many first round corners and he just had to start rotating them. Does Tim Walton take that approach and does he rotate corners? Or do Denzel Burke and Davison Igbinosin and Jordan Hancock stay out there? Because if they do, I think it's okay to ask yourself if they can go 17 games doing that. But they've got the talent, I think, where Jermaine Matthews can play on the outside. But now they had my attention. Now they've peaked, or whatever the saying is, they had my interest. Now they've got my attention. Jermaine Matthews looked really good in the slot in the spring game. And so that kind of, you know, perked my ears up like, oh, could this be another solution to rotating all of these guys? Jordan Hancock can play on the outside. Jermaine Matthews can play on the inside. You know, do they just continue to churn these cornerbacks and make sure that they're all getting playing time, whether that's in the at nickel, whether that's on the outside, you know, proving that they can all do everything and cross training these guys so they can all be ready, not just for, you know, the potential for 2024 Ohio State, but some of these guys 2025 Ohio State and some of these guys onto the NFL showing versatility there. So, you know, that's a huge question for me is just what do they do? They've got the talent. They've got the cornerback room that is the envy of everybody in college football right now. How do they use it? And, you know, those guys can't all stand on the sideline. They're too talented too.
I think they're going – they've got to – I mean, the head coach has said they're going to play a lot of guys, which means rotation. The defensive coordinator says they're going to do that. Tim Walton has basically said that, you know, if you're capable, if you've earned it. And, you know, their aim is a 16-game minimum season. You know, if that can get them there, if they can get that that first round bye in the college football playoff, I mean, they have to do it. So I believe they're going to rotate the corners. And we've talked about this before, Spence, you know, and Andrew, excuse me, Anders. You got a lot of nicknames, Andy. It's hard for me to keep up. The schedule sets up for them to rotate guys, especially early. You know, I'm not going to beat around the bush about the first several games on this schedule. It sets up perfectly for them to get guys big-time experience, playing experience, burn redshirt year almost experience, you know what I mean, before they start October and it really gets down to business. So they've got to rotate them. So I will, if they don't, that would be a major failing by the coaching staff more than it would be, I think, by the players.
I completely agree, Tim. Andy, yesterday you gave us a big, good, long list of offensive guys who you had to mention before we get out of here is just, you know, guys who maybe popped a little bit during the spring. I'm going to give one from just what I thought of the spring game. I thought Inky Jones had a good spring game. He's a walk-on safety. He had an interception in the spring game. He's pretty athletic. We've seen him make plays you know, student appreciation days of yesteryear. And then he comes in this spring, looks pretty good in the spring, makes an interception in the spring game. Who knows? You know, you're talking about safety depth. I don't know. Anyone else, Andy? I know you've got some guys.
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about him a ton today, but Caden McDonald's also in that mix for that third defensive tackle position. Yep. And he kind of came on late last year. It was a summer arrival that I felt like made a big impression during the season. So we have to monitor him. Maybe he is that third defensive tackle. I guess we're shouting out some walk-ons. Deontay Griffin, of course, had that interception in the spring game that made for a great moment and a great question by Tim May in the press conference asking Ryan Day if that's going to be an annual tradition now for a Griffin to score a touchdown in the spring game. Of course, the touchdown the year before. Also, I was going through the transfers, and it's just funny seeing like Joey Velasquez came in from Michigan, dual sport athlete there. There's just been a lot of back and forth with Michigan, Ohio State changes, Tony Alford and football, of course, Roddy Gale and basketball. Certainly an under the radar one is Joey Velasquez, who spent 5 years at Michigan, played baseball and football there, and now plays football and linebacker for Ohio State, another depth piece.
Do you agree? Do you agree he had the best form tackle in the spring game? That's for sure. I mean, I still remember him making that hit. Does this segue to me now? I'm going back to the defensive line, and I saw some good things out of Tywan Malone in the spring game and Jason Moore. I mean, guys like you're talking about, man, you know, this team is going to live or die by how good is both of its lines are. And I think there is definitely depth there. You talk about Hero Canoe, you know, ran him down the line as far as those defensive tackles. The fact that Tonic Williams is back is huge. In my Ty Hamilton too. So you got these grizzled veterans, but you got these guys who are champing at the bit to play. And boy, if they can get Tywan Malone really wound up, that could be something. You know, it's the thing I think we're going to see, and you see this with really great teams. And I've talked about this before about Ohio State teams is middle of the year. I think you're going to see some guys stepping up because they're going to get chances to play. Early on, if in fact they stick to what Ryan Day said they're going to do is play a lot of guys. And boy, nothing beats game experience for a guy to really find his confidence out there in the middle of the defensive line. You know, you think it's just big guys hitting each other. There's all kinds of games being played. So got my eye on Hero Canoe and a couple of these other guys just really stepping up to add depth to that defensive front.
Yeah, I'm going to add two more names and I'm going to get us out of here. Arvell Reese is a super athlete. I don't know where he fits in 2024, but I think if you can get him playing time in 2024, that's a name for 2025. And you know, I'm not putting Arvell down a notch and telling him he's not going to play this year, because by the middle of the year, you could see him come on and be a contributor at linebacker. But I think he's going to start the year as one of those guys where, hey, if we get him going, maybe he contributes in 24, but he's definitely going to be a big factor in 25. I liked what I saw from him this spring at times. And then freshman, I think I've got to mention him just because I think he's got a nose for the football and he's going to be a good player down the road. And maybe I'll clip this in 2026 and look really smart. I mean, there's another Stover on the roster, and you know, he looks the part. He doesn't look out of place. I think that's big for a small town kid. You know, he learned a lot from his cousin, but also he's his own man. And I think we need to start, you know, he's not just Cade Stover's cousin anymore. I think we need to start mentioning him as a potential, you know, down the road guy. So, you know, give a little love to Garrett Stover there before we get out of here. Andy Backstrom's going to get out of here. He's going to get back to work covering the basketball transfer portal. It's a great time to be an Ohio State basketball fan. It's a wild time over there.
Who would have believed that the basketball transfer portal is more active than the football one, at least today? That's nuts, isn't it, Andy?
It is. The sport's changing. I mean, guys are leaving every day. The mid-majors are suffering. All their best players are gone.
That's crazy. Those are the casualties. That's the casualties of this new era, without a doubt. I mean, they used to put those teams together and keep them together for 4 years. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah, on the football side too, the mid majors, the G5s. You know, my Ohio Bobcats are just getting pillaged on the defensive line. So you know, those are just casualties of the new reality of the sport. Maybe we'll have to do a basketball show. Maybe we'll do a transfer portal show. We're definitely going to put on the books tomorrow at 4 p.m. Thursday, April 25th at 4 p.m. We'll do an NFL draft preview when it comes to Ohio State. We expect Marvin Harrison Jr.'s name to be called Thursday night and then some Buckeyes to go over the weekend. We'll preview all.
Wait a minute. But dude, just one little taste. Who will be the next guy picked from Ohio State? My guess is Michael Hall.
Yeah, I think so too.
Who are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, the only other one that would come to mind would be Kate Stover. Okay. If someone really likes him and tight ends start to go. But after Brock Bowers, I think there's going to be a bit of a wait. So
yeah, I just wanted to do a little taste preview there. Sorry, Spence.
No, that's okay, Tim. You just gave away the whole crux of the show tomorrow. No, I'm just
kidding. That's the whole joke.
we'll definitely do an NFL draft preview on Thursday at 4 p.m., Thursday, April 25th. Don't miss it at 4 p.m. Until then, though, go to lettermanrow.com where you can get full coverage of the Ohio State Buckeyes. $1 for your first 2 months when you use the promo code OSU1. That's right, $1 for your first 2 months. It's a YouTube exclusive when you use the promo code OSU1. Come join us in the Letterman Lounge message board. We're talking basketball transfer portal. We're talking football transfer portal and lack thereof action on that front. We're talking about the roster for next year. We're talking about freshmen and recruiting with Alex Gleitman and Matt Parker over on the recruiting side. Tim May, the 41-year vet. Andy Backstrom. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in to Letterman Row. We'll see you guys over on the site.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.